Jasinski.
Am I on? He wanted to ask if everyone grabbed their tomatoes as they came in. Tomatoes. While I get set up, can we just give thanks to God for having a place to come and worship? And what a great, great song and great thing you said about Tim. I didn't know that till today, Ryan. I didn't know that. So, how about when somebody asks you to do something? It seems like just there's a million things going on and there's a million reasons why you shouldn't do it, or all this stuff comes at you. I have a busy, busy, busy April. And when Erin asked, she shot me that text, and I was just like, okay. And I just was thinking about all the stuff going on, and, you know, I hesitated a little bit, but, you know, a man that I would say he's one of the leaders in my life. I don't know him personally, but John Maxwell, he says, get out and do something uncomfortable. Speak in front of people is one of the things he said. So I'm speaking in front of people. my message tonight is called love. What does it look like? I'll say that again. Love. What does it look like? The definition I got off of Google: a profoundly tender, passionate affection for another person, a feeling of warm personal attachment or deep affection of a parent, child, or friend. What I believe God's definition of love is best shown in John 3:16. We've all heard this scripture all of our lives. I mean, it's been shared to us and shared to us and shared to us. John 3:16 reads, "For God loved the world so much that He gave His only one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life." 17 says, "God sent His Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him." And I want to pray, God, I just thank You for this time. I'm standing here not because of me, but because of You. And let this message that was put on my heart just radiate who You are and what You've done for me and what You can do for somebody tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you still hear me because I moved the mic down? Okay. And I just want to let you know I'm standing here because of God. I'm not standing here for any other reason. I have a history that goes back, and I can't share it all tonight, but it goes back. And I stand here because of what Jesus did for my life. If I repeat the history that I should have, that the world told me I should have, I would not be standing here. I wouldn't be. I might be calling on a collect call saying, hey, I need to get out of here. I need some bail money. That's not in my notes, but I just want to let you know I'm 35 years old. My name's Bradley Trzyski. I've been coming to church for 12 years. I got saved right over there. And shortly after, my wife accepted the Lord. And as a lot of you know, and if you don't know, we have a beautiful 9-month-old baby, Taylor. She's taught me more about myself than I think I've taught her. And I got saved right here. It's been 12 years, and it's just been exciting. So, it's been 12 years. There was a day, I'll tell this, this is in my notes. So please, I just want to let you know, everything that I'm going to share tonight is in my heart. I have notes, though, so I have a guideline. But everything I share with you tonight, God gave me in my heart, and I believe it's for somebody tonight. I believe it's for everybody. I remember Pastor showed me some great love. I was thinking about filing bankruptcy. I didn't do it. I was trying to pay back a credit card for $250, and I said, I need that money. And the love that he showed me, he said, Buzniak probably hears this all the time, get to work. So what I want to do is I want to, it worked. Yes, I'm blessed, highly favored. I'm anointed. My family's blessed. My baby's blessed. I write her name on every tithe check, every offering check with ours. So I'm just planting seeds in her life. I'm sharing from my heart and what God is doing right now in my life, what's real right now in 2014, and I believe it's for some of you today. I took this out of my notes, but I want to share this with you because as much as he tells me that I've affected his life, he affects my life because it's not about how smart you are and how good you look and the nice ties that you see me wear. It's about the passion that God has, or that God has placed in his life. Because when he gets up here, when he speaks to you, he has passion. And he has helped me get some more passion because life calluses you. And I just want to thank Chris for that. So right now, I'm passionate about leadership. I'm not a natural born leader, but I believe you can learn it. I believe you study. I believe that you can read and you can become a leader. And I had this message together. It was going to be called Passion. Or I'm sorry, it wasn't going to be called Passion. It was going to be called Persistence. And I'm writing it. I'm doing this. And then God said something to me. He says, I want people to hear your heart. And I'm like, Buzniak. Oh, because when I shared like months back, he said, Brad, you did an awesome job. And when you stepped back from that pulpit and you asked people if you could be vulnerable, he said, that's when you touch people. So I got some from the heart, and all I can say is Buzniak. So if I cry, it's Buzniak's fault. If you cry, it's Buzniak's fault. Oh, I love you, Chris. And I just thank God for you. I thank God. And the church should just give them a round of applause right now. I want to take you back about 20 years. I'm not sure if you know this, but I love football. When I graduated, oh, let me do this the other way. I forgot. I posed the Heisman, and they got a picture of me. I was recruited to play at Brockport. It's a Division III school, but for a young man that was just going to move to Florida, I was excited. We went there on school senior skip day, and they said, who's this guy running around like a crazy man? I said, that's me. They said, let's play football. And we love football so much. We played it in our backyard all the time. I mean, every moment, every day we played it. We loved it so much that if you quit, we beat you up. And I'm not kidding you. There was 2-on-2. Now we only got 3 people, and you were getting beat down. And I'm not kidding you. You wanted to quit. You're getting beat down. You left. We chased you, and we beat you up. And I tell you that because that's where I had to put my energy, is into something I loved. I put my energy in school, and I put my energy in sports because I love football. But I want to read this to you again, John 3:16. God so loved the world, he gave his only son. I heard this scripture as a young boy, mainly at holiday church services. I heard it at Awana's. Does anybody remember Awana's? I loved Awana's because they gave you snacks, you ran around, played games, and then you went down into this little room, and they shared the gospel with you, and they said, God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Okay. What does that scripture mean? God so loved the world. My heavenly Father loves the world. So I'm trying to understand this as a young boy. My heavenly Father loved me, so he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Okay. I'm real confused at this point, and I'll tell you why. It sounds real good on paper, but the version of love that looked like for me when I grew up was a mom that loved us, gave us food, gave us a home, but loved her addictions. I heard things like this. You're no good. I wish I never had you. Get out of my house. Stepfathers that beat us kids. beat my mom. They would scream and they would yell. I would be terrified of doing anything in my home because I was afraid of getting hit. I was afraid a fist was going to go through the wall. I was afraid he was going to come in and kick a hole in the wall and hit us. So, okay, my biological father, he chose to work. He chose to work. He chose to work. He would tell me he was coming to see me and never show. Okay, so here I am, a young boy, and I'm trying to understand God loved the world and gave his only son. I'm really, really confused. Now, don't get me wrong. I love my parents. I love everything that they gave me and they taught me. I learned a lot about life, okay, but I just wish there was a little more love. I don't know if anybody can relate to that, but that's the truth. So I just want to thank God, because at 24 years old, I met Jesus and he saved me and he set me on a different path. So when I tell you 12, 13 years ago, I was 24 years old, and he started me on a path to walk where I am today. But still, I'm not 100% who this Heavenly Father is. I tell you this story because about 6 months ago, I realized, and that's the truth, how much God loves me. 6 months ago, I've been saved for 12 years. And I'm going to read my notes, okay? And I apologize, but I want to give you my heart, and it's right here. One morning, I was staring at my baby. And she was sleeping. I was about to go to the gym. Now, I want to, just for all you parents out there, a baby sleeping is beautiful. Very beautiful. More beautiful in other ways. But what's more beautiful is a father that's praying and speaking words over a baby that doesn't even know what you're saying to her, speaking godly truth into her life. I realized at that moment how much I love this baby. She didn't earn it. She didn't have to work for it. I just love her. I helped create her. Even after sleepless nights, frustration, crying, all the baby things, I still love her. I don't even remember all those things. I look at her with love and I forget. She falls, I embrace her. She's hurt, I hold her. She laughs, I have joy. She's hungry, I tell Ma to feed her. I help too. So this one day I'm staring at her and I'm praying for her and it dawned on me. And God spoke to me. He spoke to my heart. That still small voice. Not a loud audible voice, just a voice, a small voice. He said to me, God, he said, Brad, I love you. This is how I look at you. Now get that for a minute. I'm staring at my baby, not understanding love. I'm looking at her and thinking about how much I love her, not understanding real love. And the God of heaven says to me, Brad, I love you. This is how I look at you. And I realized at that moment what love looks like and who my Heavenly Father is, my Creator, my God. He forgot my past. He's happy for me. Realizing how much God loves me has helped me care more about people. It's helped me care more about you and you and you and you and you. The truth is, it was hard for me to love people. I'm strong. I'm a man. I don't cry. I'm a machine. I don't have blood. I have oil in me. You don't have feelings, Brad. You don't love. You press into life. You move forward. Somebody makes a mistake, you move forward. You tell them to rub some dirt on it. and keep moving forward. But that's not God. God wants you to hold them. God wants you to grab them and bring them with you and tell them how much you love them. At work, I don't see everybody just as somebody I can be number one over. I actually look at them as people because I love this baby and realized that God loves me. And I say this, I took this out of my notes, but I say this. I say, don't come to God as a baby. Come to God with the spirit of a baby. God, I need you. God, feed me. I'm hungry. Not milk, but we all know this. Give me some meat. That's out of my notes. He's helped me love my wife at a newer level. Now, seeing what I've seen, how do you love a wife? How do you love the woman that you're supposed to love? Not my natural man. Yes, I love her, but God has taught me to love her more, to look at her different, to see her different. He's helped me. I love my wife. We've been together 13 years, but he's taken me from a level of maybe carnal even, but a level of supernatural love, a love that God has given me and put in my heart. Well, I tell you this story to help somebody today. God loves you. Someone really needed to hear this, that God loves you. He sees you. He looks on you with love. He picks you up. He embraces you when you're hurt. He doesn't see your yesterday. Is Debbie here? If you can come down. Debbie, you can come down too. I will pray for you. Hallelujah. I'm here to say, ladies and gentlemen, God loves you. Moms, dads, young man, young lady. He sees you. He looks on you with love. He picks you up. He embraces you when you're hurt. He is well pleased. He doesn't see your yesterdays. So Ryan started the service, and this wasn't planned. And this went a lot faster than I thought, but I love you. Ryan started, and he started because he had something on his heart with Tim and Tim accepting the Lord. And he said, if you don't know the love of God, we want to pray for you. So first I want to say this altar is not a place of judgment. This is an area of prayer. This is an area of restoration. This is an area where you can be washed clean. This is an area where Jesus can meet you right where you're at. And Pastor invites you to the altar. I'm going to invite you to the altar. It's not to put you on a public display. It's actually to shake the devil off your foot that's holding you in that seat. And you're taking a step of faith. And you're taking another one. And you're taking another one. And someone in Jesus meets you down here. So we want to pray for three types of people. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to come down. Don't be afraid. There was a day I sat over there afraid. The next time I came to service, I wasn't afraid. I needed it. I needed it. If you don't know the love of Jesus, we want to pray for you. We want you to know Jesus. I want you to know Jesus. Jesus wants you to know Him. If you know God, let me back up for a second because I have a little time. It's okay? Okay. Ryan, is it harder to preach when the pastor's here when he's not here? Okay. It's harder when he's not here. Okay. Let me back up. I see a lot of people that have been in church longer than I have. We work out. I work out. Marty works out. Ryan works out. I have calluses on my hand. Life can callus you. It can. It can callus you. It can callus your heart. It can callus, you know, what God wants to do through you. So the second person I want to pray for, and we want to pray for, is somebody that knows God and has followed God, cannot relate to my story, has grown up in church, has loved God, has had Christian parents, but maybe they're a little calloused, and it's okay. It's okay if you're a little calloused. That's why we congregate and we come together. So I want to pray for you. And the other person I want to pray for is the person that can relate with me. The person that doesn't know love right now in their life, has never known love, wants to know love, and wants to know the love of Jesus. So I want some prayer people to come down that normally come down. Please come down. So I want you to step out of your seat and come down. If I spoke to you, your heart was touched tonight by anything that I said, whether you need a touch from Jesus, whether you need something from Jesus, you just need a refreshing from Jesus. So
we didn't talk, I swear to you. And that scripture, if I tell you, you won't believe me. It was on my spirit this week. I was in the car, and that scripture came to me, and I said, I don't know it like I should know it. For God so loved the world that he died for you. You might be sitting here tonight, maybe, like Brad said, we're programmed to be tough. Right, Ron? We're programmed that way. Not to show emotion, not to cry. We're programmed by the world not to take that step. That's one of the greatest analogies I've ever heard from a pulpit. When we step out, we leave the enemy at our seat. Don't leave this place tonight. Don't leave here. You don't know what tomorrow brings. Tim Grice, if I read you the Facebook message like I read Chris today, It wasn't 6 months ago he Facebook messaged me, Ryan, I got some bad news. Man, that touched my spirit this week so hard I can't even tell you. I could barely get through the day at work. And as I read that message, I got the worst news of my life, Ryan. It's the cancer is inoperable. It's a death sentence, Ryan. And I read that. And the only thing I could say back, how do you answer that? What is your response? And I felt the Spirit, that song that Stephen Curtis Chapman wrote, God is God and I'm not. And I can only see a part of the picture he's painting. And you don't know if you walk out of here tonight, if you don't know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. When I started singing tonight, when I started and I got to that song, I felt the Spirit of God stop me and go, don't continue without talking, without inviting someone to know Christ. And I'm going to ask you one more time, and Brad asked tonight, one of the most powerful messages ever that could be spoke is a message on love. And there's more than one in this place that you've wandered from thing to thing, from place to place, from person to person. And the reason you've done it is you've never had a fatherly love. You've never been loved by a mother. You've never been loved by a father. And you sit in your seat and you say, I'm not going to be the first one. I'm not going to get up. I'm not going to walk to the front. I invite you. Don't leave here the way you came in. Sir, ma'am, if you don't know Jesus, you don't know God's love. And you don't know where you're going. And I'll say it again. If you don't know where you're going, if we come in here and we sing and Bradley speaks a godly message and you say, you walk right out back that door the way you came, and we might do a lot of altar calls. You know, I love it. last Thursday night, there was 30, there was 40 people up here. Sunday, there was 30, there was 40, there was 50 people up here. You say, I just got done with that. If you don't know Jesus, tonight's your night. Come down right now. Come down right now. Don't wait another minute. If you don't know Jesus, thank you, sir. You just made the best decision of your life. Thank you, ma'am. Beef, come on down here. There's someone else. You say, Ryan, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it 1,000 more times, God willing. You say, Ryan, if I died tonight, I don't know where my eternal home would be. I don't know if I'd be in heaven or if I'd be in hell. If that's you tonight, get down to the front here. Make a decision. It's a simple prayer. You can't be bad enough. You can't be good enough. God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for people who are willing. God, we thank you that we can't be good enough. We can't be bad enough. But you've given your son for us. God, as we enter into this season, as we enter into this Easter season, where you were hung on a cross, you were beaten for us, for the sin we committed, you paid the price. We thank you for it, God. We thank you that you came and you died with us in mind so we didn't have to suffer for eternity, but that we have a home in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
How beautiful is this right now tonight? Thank you, Lord. I want about 5 praying people. I want you just to come down here. I need 5 people that just come down and pray. I want you to just come down, stand right off to my left here and just begin to pray. And then I'm going to dismiss. But before I dismiss, I just want to open the altar up. Maybe you know the Lord, but maybe there's a burden hanging over your life tonight. We're going to see that go. Maybe you just want to come down and give God thanks a moment. Just do that before you leave. There's a beautiful presence of God in the house right here, right now. Let's just come down. Father, come right now while I'm speaking. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you all the praise and all the glory. Don't leave. Maybe you've never been here. We didn't orchestrate anything like this tonight. It's just the presence and the kindness of God. But this is a moment now. We don't want to lose it. We don't want to miss it. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I give you all the thanks and all the praise because you're good. You do all things well. Pray for our family here tonight, our church, every person in this building, that your hand would be upon them, that you'd keep them strong. If you are one of those that came for prayer, come right over next to me. Come right in front of me. Donnie, come right over here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Prayer people, just get around these folks over here that are come down and pray. Just a couple of you go over there and pray. Father, I thank you again for great grace tonight, great love, your hand upon our lives to do us well. Lord, I declare the goodness of God over every single life here, and I thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I love you so much. God bless you so much. God is doing some great things. You don't have to leave right away if you want to linger here for a moment. Just love that organ music playing in the back. Just let God work in your life for a moment tonight. This has been a pivotal moment tonight. I love you. Bless you.